The detective paces up and down his tiny office impatiently. It only takes a few steps to travel from one side to the other, but he finds it helps him think. He now knows how Mr. Wells died, and it seems likely that the murderer extracted the poison from foxgloves picked in a nearby field. But he's still no closer to solving the case. What he needs is a motive. Detective Collins looks at his watch and decides to head over to the forensic computing department before heading home for the night. The technical team have been working non-stop on the laptop found at the crime scene and just might have something that could shed some light on the situation. The computer lab is in the basement. As Detective Collins steps out of the lift, he can hear the hum of electronics and the tapping of computer keys. Good, he thinks, they haven't left yet. He enters the lab and his eye is drawn to the case file lying on the desk nearest the door. He picks it up and begins to leaf through it. Most of it is unintelligible, but after a few minutes he realises what it's saying. Mr. Wells had discovered a problem with the Science Centre's accounts. Someone had been cooking the books. Now he has his motive.
There's a mathematical phenomenon that shows that the universe might not be as random with its numbers as we would think. Now, I'm sure most people would expect that if you took all of the numbers that appeared in a newspaper or, for instance, on our website, that they would have a random distribution. There'd probably be about the same proportions of numbers that start with a 1 or a 2 or a 3 and so on. David Spiegelhalter, though, joins us now to tell us why this isn't actually the case. David, they say smart question deserves a smart answer. Why don't we start with an example, though? Can you demonstrate this phenomenon for us?
Well, when the people came in this evening, we asked them to record their house number. And I think those all went onto the computer. But when we look at the first digit of each of these house numbers, so that would be 11884444, one here. Let's look at what pattern those digits form. OK, what we see among the house numbers is that out of 25 numbers, 11 of them started with a 1. 3 of them began with a 2, 2 began with a 3, 4 began with a 4, and then just 5 began with an 8. And if we look at that, we've got a little graph here that shows this distribution of the first digit of the house numbers, and it clearly is not equally spread between 1 and 9. There's a great preponderance for low numbers to start up, in particular for number 1. And that's an example of a very rough example of what's called Benford's Law. Now, Benford's Law says that numbers of many quantities are not randomly distributed. If we took the lengths of rivers, if we took how much people earn, if we took the number of books in libraries, we took the number of people living in cities and looked at the first digit of each of those numbers and plotted them out in a graph like this, they would all have a similar pattern, with the most common number starting with 1. In fact, 30% of numbers, 30% of all numbers begin with 1. Isn't that extraordinary? And 18% begin with 2, and so on and so on. In fact, 13% begin with 3, and it goes down and down and down. And that distribution of numbers just occurs again and again and again.
And that's known as Benford's Law.
Benford's Law.
So if one were to take any natural phenomenon, including accountants' records, then one should see that pattern present there.
You've got to have numbers that cover a very wide range. If I just asked you your height in feet, then most of you would give me 4, 5, or 6 or something like that. So that wouldn't be that wouldn't work at all. They've got to be something with a really big spread of numbers, such as lengths of rivers. In fact, it's quite remarkable it worked with houses quite so well. So that was lucky. But for accounts or numbers in where you might have very small numbers or very large amounts, it works brilliantly. And Benford's Law is used as a tool to detect people fiddling accounts.
Why should it be useful for detecting if people have fiddled accounts? Because wouldn't they just know that?
Well, it's quite difficult to reconstruct figures that obey Benford's Law.
What you're saying is when people fiddle the books, they try to choose numbers that they think look plausible, but in fact they're not.
And the classic example of that was when people looked at the Greek national accounts for 2000, when they were under a lot of scrutiny and they were putting in for EU monitors. And in 2008, for example, they looked at all the numbers in the Greek national accounts and 34% of them began with a 2, which is almost double the amount that it should. It should only be 18% begin with a 2. And that was, you know, considered clear evidence that people were essentially making up the figures. Let's think there were lots of numbers and accounts and they were in pounds, and I wanted to translate them into another unit, say dollars. And let's pretend there's $2 to the pound. All those numbers would double. Now, if actually numbers didn't obey this law and there are equal numbers in those accounts, beginning with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you realise all the numbers, the amounts that started with a 5 to a 9, when you doubled them, changed them into dollars, would all now begin with a 1. So you get a completely different distribution coming out. Just by changing the currency, you get a completely different distribution. But if the numbers obey Benford's law, you can change the currency and they still obey Benford's law. That's where the mathematical form for Benford's law comes from. It's what's called an invariant distribution. You can change the units, you can change lengths of rivers from miles to kilometres to inches, and they'll still all obey Benford's law. It's an absolutely beautiful bit of mathematics.
And the police do actually use this?
This is used for forensic accounting work, yes.
The clincher, though, why does this apply? Why does that happen?
That's a really difficult thing to say. That's why the usual way you explain it is say, well, if it didn't, you'd end up with when you change currencies, you would end up with a different distribution. It's almost like saying, if it is going to have a distribution, it must obey Benford's law. That's not a very good answer, is it?
I'll ask the question again. So why does this apply? Why do we see this?
You say it's a natural way that numbers, you know, cluster. You have to work your way all through the ones before you get to the two. So if you think of the length of a street, then you get them up to 100. But then for the next big jump of length of streets, they're all going to begin with 100. And so a street is not equally likely to be half a mile as long as 100 miles long.
So there are more things that are in small numbers than there are things that are in big numbers, and therefore the small numbers starting with a 1, for example, are going to crop up more often.
I guess you could say that.
David Spiegelhalter, thank you very much.